were a different crowd of people. They were a different kind of people to some of the others. They weren't influenced by anything else from outside. They just took the gospel and they lived it and they proceeded with it. One of the other things that's quite important, I think, that illustrates just where Paul was with them. This was the only fellowship that sent him material things to help him. They were not only concerned spiritually about Paul, and we will see that they prayed for him, but they sent him things as well. They showed how they felt by tokens of their feeling, by sending him, I don't know, food parcels, clothes, whatever it was. But they sent him things for his material needs so that he could survive on his journeys. So this whole letter has a different feel to some of the other letters that he writes. And I felt that it was just as Pete said, that you read the letter, and I have exactly the same problem with those blinking pictures that you talk about. It got so bad that for my birthday, I asked one of my children to give me one of the learn how to read these picture books, okay? And they gave me this book, and I was looking at page after page. Sharon was on, sitting over my shoulder. She says, "Oh, yes, look at that. It's a train. Oh, look at that. It's a boat. Oh, I can see clouds there." I can't see a thing. And I went off by myself and I opened it and I still could not see the simplest blinking picture in that book. And sometimes, you know, when we look at the scriptures, we have that particular issue. We can see it. We can see the dots and we can see all the bits and pieces. We can't see the hidden picture inside. Now, the other illustration that I had, so it's not completely stolen, is actually the book of the letter to the Philippians is a bit like one of those special jigsaws, not an ordinary jigsaw with the thousands of bits and you put it together and you see the picture. But you make the picture, and when you've made the picture, there's holes in the picture, and then you have to have another little packet of bits and pieces, and you fill in the holes, and it makes a complete picture. Have you ever done one of those jigsaws? I'm not that old, come on, you know. That you've not seen these with the little... Oh dear, what a poor illustration. Okay. Well, it's like that kind of jigsaw. When you see one in the shop, go and buy it, and then you'll remember the book of the letter to the Philippians. Okay. Try down the charity shop and say, "I want one of those jigsaws with the little pictures that you put in after you put the whole thing together." All right. The one that I remember was the one that you had to put in the birds. So it was a nature scene, and then you had the little pictures of birds. And it had the name of the bird in the main part of the jigsaw, but you had to guess which bird it was that you put in the hole. Okay. Letter of Philippians, I think, is a little bit like that. There's certain bits, and it's dotted all over the place, and it's not till you look at the whole thing that you see exactly where Paul's coming from and what he's saying. So, we're going to read. I noticed the clock's not there. This is really great. This is good. Okay.
On the shelf.
On the shelf? I'm on the shelf. Oh, well, I didn't see that. That's the wrong... Close the curtain and we're okay. Right. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard," that's in Rome, okay, "and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the words of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains." An indication that Paul was not having it easy, and not everybody was entirely with Paul. Some were opposed to him, so they were choosing a path to direct problems towards him. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I will rejoice. Yes, And I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help that you have given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will be in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. What words? How can we actually look at these? And how can we draw from them the things relative to today? But central to it, I have to pick that verse that says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will be in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that really is the whole gospel, you know. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So how did Paul arrive at that position at that time writing to the Philippians? Well, as I was going through this, I'd made notes right the way through of all kinds of things that came to my mind that I could see that Paul was saying, the things that were happening and the things that were surrounding him as he was imprisoned in Rome. But you'll be pleased to know that I've reduced it to 3 points. Okay. And this is the first one that I want to pull out from here. And let me tell you, there is loads of things that we could look at, many aspects of what Paul has written to the Philippians. But this is what I want to pull out first. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. I eagerly expect. That's a bit like a bit like Nelson. And, you know, England expects. I used to work down in Gosport, right opposite Portsmouth Dockyard. And when the ships came in, you'd see the flags over the top. And it always reminded me of the victory. And what he put, England expects every man to do his duty. And Paul says, I eagerly expect and I hope. In the things that are hoped for, I hope that I will not be ashamed. So how can you say that? Well, the title that I've been given this morning is Living in Christ. But actually, you have to turn it around the other way and say, Christ living in me. And if Christ is living in me, then I will be living in Christ, not in the same way, in different senses, in different ways, and different behaviour, but that is the essence of it. You see, there is no way that Paul would say, for me to live is Christ, unless he'd been changed. And Paul had been changed, dramatically changed. He was there opposing the Christian church, opposing the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was busy telling everybody they got it completely wrong. And he firmly believed that in his life. And he was on that road to Damascus. And God struck him down with a blinding light. And the person of the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself to Paul in such a way that he was turned inside out. And he changed completely. He completely reversed his understanding of God and God's purposes for his people. And the fact that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, he was the Son of God, he is the Son of God, and he is the person who has the answer to the world's problems. So you see, for Paul to actually be able to say, you know, I earnestly expect this and I really hope for it, there had to be something inside that generated that feeling. If you have a hobby and a passion, then it excites you when it happens, you know, or when you're doing it, or it intrigues you and it absorbs you, and you'll spend your time doing it. And what Paul says is that my whole life is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a bit of a problem in this day and age, and I don't suppose it was any different in the days of the Philippians when Paul wrote this. There are so many distractions in the world that we lose focus. How often I lose focus, and Sharon will have to say to me, I think you've lost focus there. You've missed the point. You're not quite dealing with this properly. And I'd have to say, no, I'm not. I've lost the focus. I've been distracted. This morning we prayed, may we not be distracted by anything else. Everything that we came with, as we pass through the threshold of that doorway, can we leave it behind just for a brief hour while we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives and in our hearts, that we go back and we say, when was it the Lord first spoke to me that I understood the message that he had, that he was here to save the world, and that he did it for me personally? Because that's where it starts and that's where it comes from. And that's why when we go back to Paul's hope, this is his hope, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to the world's problems. That when he came as the Son of God, and when he came because of his love and because of God's love for us, that it flows through us, that it fills us and overflows, so that we say, I really do expect and I really do hope that I will not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has done everything for me. And I look at this myself and I say that I know that that isn't always the case. So why was he writing to the Philippians? Because he knew that they suffered the same problems and the same difficulties. And he's saying, look, this is where I am. I have no choice. I'm actually chained to a Roman guard and he knows what I believe. And we'll go on a bit later to understand that he preached the whole of the Roman palace. And he says, you know, this is really what it is. So I have to stand up and I'm saying, this is why I'm here, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's difficult sometimes in our ordinary, I say ordinary lives, our everyday living, to actually say the Lord Jesus Christ is in the middle. As somebody who's involved in shipbuilding and ships, where is the Lord Jesus Christ in looking at a container ship? And it is really difficult sometimes, because I'm an engineer and I've learned naval architecture and I've learned about ships and ship construction and welding and bits of metal and how to run a ship and so on. That's my personal life on Mondays to Fridays, because that is what I consider and feel and know that God has put me into that line of business. And I could show you and I can show you the path and I can show you how he has looked for me. But he's still in it. He's still in it. So how am I behaving in my everyday life? Not just here on Sunday mornings when you see the good bit and the nice bit and the scrub bit and the clean clothes. But on Monday morning, you know, at 5:30 when I get up with the alarm and struggle down to the railway station and go on the train and go to work. How is my life then? Can I say that my expectation is this and not ashamed? And I know at times I can say I am ashamed. I have not stood up in my work for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm actually privileged that I have found within the office there are two other Christians, and we encourage one another and say, you know, what was your weekend like and how we're going to cope with the week. So that is quite beneficial, and it's a privilege, and we remind each other while we're here. But we all have something that we can fit in there. So you will be going through your minds, I hope, this is my everyday life. This is what happens on Monday morning. I live for Christ. I live for Christ wherever it is, whatever my job is, wherever I visit, whatever I do, whoever I see. And it's difficult. And Paul knew that. And he says, let me encourage you. Take heart from me, because he goes on at the end of that passage to say, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. You'll look at me, you can see my difficulties, you will learn from me, you will take encouragement, and you will do the same. So that you can say, so that I can say, so that people in Philippi could say, for me to live is Christ. My whole life, my whole being, my whole purpose. He has chosen me, he has chosen you, and he has set us apart to be his children and heirs unto salvation. That's Paul's hope. Is it our hope as well? Then the next thing I want us to look at is this. It's Paul's confidence. Verse 19, he says this. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. For I know that through your prayers, okay, their consideration, their concerns, through your prayers, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Whatever that may be, whatever that deliverance may be, whether it is still serving the Lord Jesus Christ day by day, or being taken up into heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, that will be the deliverance. And Paul is saying, I know this, and I'm confident in it. Where is our confidence? I've said to you before, one of the big problems we have with youngsters is when they're born, as soon as they're born, we start to train them, whatever it is, train them for the potty, you know, train them to eat food, train them to speak, teach them different languages if we're smart enough to speak more than one language, whatever it may be. And we send them to school and they learn a bit more and they learn disciplines and they learn understanding. And all of this is saying you're all by yourself, because when you're whatever it is and you leave school, that's it. We've taught you everything we can. You've got to go off by yourself and you do it. And that's not what the gospel says. It's partly what it says. There's plenty of things within the scriptures that talk about discipline and living and teaching children and obedience and all those kinds of things. But deep down, it says my confidence and my trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying this, you know, in your lives, you people in Philippi, I know how you feel. Not only that you pray for me, because I understand and I have seen the answers to your prayers, and I am confident that when you pray for me, that the Lord will answer your prayers. Not only that, but he says, I know that because materially you've looked after me. You've sent me the Red Cross parcels. I know how you feel about me. And I know that it will work out for my good and for God's purposes, that God will be glorified. Our confidence should be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our confidence should be in each other. That when we pray for each other, when we pray for the people that we know around us, when we pray for our families, I'm confident, and you are confident, that the Lord Jesus Christ will answer those prayers. Now, the interesting thing is that they're not always the answers that we want to hear. You know, when my children were younger, they still come and ask me questions occasionally, but not so much now. But when they answered that, when they asked a question, they had an expectation for an answer. Can I go to Colchester tonight? You know, no, you can't, because it's not a safe place at 11 o'clock at night and certainly beyond. Yeah, but I want to go to Colchester. And they wanted the answer to be yes. And they knew that even before they'd asked me, the answer was going to be no. So what do? They go and ask Sharon. It says, yes, my dear, here you are. You know, no, not quite. It's not true. We were always of one accord with our youngsters and the way that we tried to deal with them. But they wanted a different answer. And when we bring our prayers to God, don't try and answer them for him, but wait for him to answer and tell us, so that we can say, I'm confident that the prayer that you give, the prayer that I've brought to you, you will answer it. from the concern for me personally and for the people that I'm talking about and for the environment in which I'm in. And Paul says, this is my confidence. He says, I know it will happen. He says, because I know what you people are like. I know that that prayer that you offered to God on my behalf and for me and for my preservation and for me imprisoned in Rome, chained to a Roman guard and in fear of my life possibly, and more than likely, and he'd been in prison for 2 years, I know that when you've prayed from the heart, God will answer as he sees fit for his purposes and for my purposes, for his good and for my good. Why? Ultimately, because I want the Lord Jesus Christ to be glorified in everything that he does and in everything that he has done and everywhere that he is in our lives. And that's another tough one, because sometimes we pray without believing. Sometimes we pray without confidence. Sometimes we forget to pray. It's difficult, isn't it? You see, when you read the book of Philippi, I've come to the conclusion we have to change. We have to change. Because we look at our present situation and where we are and we say, Paul's right. There are so many things that we have to do, so many things that we have to look at, so many things that we have to adjust, so many things we have to remind ourselves from and go back to grassroots and start again. And it's difficult. So the third thing is this. Verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It was Paul's being, his very self, that was the purpose of living, was to fulfill Christ. There are many people who have many things that they fill their lives with. Sometimes I go into Smith's and look at the magazines and you pick up one which is like a hobby. I used to be keen on model aircraft. I gave it up because the weather was so bad, and as Sharon says, I crashed more planes than I flew, so I changed from that thinking. But I used to read these magazines, and you'd see somebody who'd made an incredible model, and they must have spent thousands of hours building this model plane. And possibly when they flew it, it crashed, you know, and all those thousands of hours had gone down the drain, whatever. But they spent their life doing it. Their whole life was living and breathing model aeroplanes. Paul says, my whole life is full of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the message for us this morning is that we've come to the place where we've recognised the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord and King. And we've said, I kneel at the foot of the cross and I promise to serve you. And there is only one path and one direction. I've told you before the illustration of walking towards the goal. I'll give you a reminder because I can see one or two perplexed looks. We used to play a game when it snowed, which was who can walk in the straight line and make a straight track in the snow. And there was only one person that could do it, and it was a girl. Okay, had to be a girl. And she could do it, and there was the straight line. And it went from where she was to the end of the field. How did she do it? She said, I fix my eyes on that tree and I just walk. I don't look anywhere else. I don't do anything. I just walk to that tree. What were the rest of us doing? Looking at each other, looking at behind. And where do our tracks go? Our tracks go all over the place. Eventually we got there, but it zigzagged up the field. One girl, straight. Paul says, I press towards the mark. I have set the goal. I see the goal. I know what it is. I know what I have to do. And Paul says, this is what I believe. Even though I'm in chains, even though I'm tied down, even though I can do nothing. And we learned that in actual fact, if you went to chapter 4 of Philippians, right at the end, it says, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with you send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Especially those who belong to Caesar's household. So there he was in Caesar's household, in Caesar's prison, preaching the gospel. Under most extreme circumstances, probably chained to a Roman officer day by day. And he says, I'm preaching the gospel. I am living the Lord Jesus Christ. And the message for us is, we should be living the Lord Jesus Christ. Not part of the time, which we can do, and I'm guilty of, but all of the time. In every part of our living, every part of our life, every part of our day, every part of our sleeping is living the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's done everything for me. He's done absolutely everything for me. He came from heaven. He came from glory. He came as the Son of God. And he lived here with us. And he said, there is only one way. There is nothing else. There is no other religion. There is no other way to follow. I am the Son of God. And I am going to die for the sins of everybody. And there's only one condition, and that is that you believe in me. And Paul says, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have emphatically come face to face with him on the Damascus Road. Have you come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ? It's good, if we have, to actually just take ourselves back to that point, to that place, to that occasion, and say, that's where I met the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he confronted me. And I didn't even expect it. I didn't even know it was going to happen. I did not know he was going to speak to me on that occasion. And he did. And he changed my life. And I want to press towards the mark. I want to press towards the goal. And okay, I've come to the point today when reading Philippians, I say, I recognise I screwed up a few times and I've got some things wrong and I need to straighten it out so that I can say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I know where I am now, I know what I should be doing now, and I know what's going to happen in the future. And that's the message. That's what Paul was saying. And he put that all into this letter to his beloved friends in Philippi who were so concerned about him and his welfare and showed more concern than many of the other people that Paul knew and had visited. And he had this passion for the Philippians. And he said, I love you so much that if you just look at me, then we will all glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We will all see him in his glory. We will all understand, and others will see, and others will know, and there will be no question that they have to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. So that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Can we say that? So that being with you, the Lord Jesus Christ will overflow through me that others may see and know. It's a tough thing. It's a tough thing. The biggest encouragement, Jesus says, I have given you the Helper. I have given you a person of the Holy Spirit, and he will be indwelling in you. And if you will just but allow him to flow through you, that you do not block him with all the things that fill our lives and fill our days, that he will overflow. And then people will see and will say, I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.